All right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I am one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined, as always, it is...
Maddie Juice. Tommy, episode 40 is upon us.
Whoa!
40 eps, 12 more to go for the year mark. That's awesome.
That's pretty crazy. That is nuts. This is my third longest... tenured podcast at this point, and I expect it to be the second longest at some point. Not even at some point, maybe by this time next year, to be honest.
Yeah.
So we will see. We got a great episode for you all this week. It is another roguelite. I mean, it is crazy the way these roguelites are just finding us and just getting us to play them. It is Ember Ward. It is a tower defense roguelike with some other elements of, you know, not card gamey stuff, but like definitely some weird stuff going on. We're going to be talking about it. Yeah. But before we do that, let's catch up. What's going on? How was your weekend?
It was good. You know, I went to Delaware. for those who were recording this early, because we're both going to be away this weekend that we're talking about. So Delaware was great. It was good. Great weather. And I can't believe what happened, though. You know, it was in the news. I'm not even going to go into detail, but it happened. You guys will see it.
That was crazy. I don't know. I mean, I just hope everybody's okay.
They're going to be fine at that church. They're going to be all right.
That's cool, man. I'm in Maine right now. And I went to go see a concert, my favorite band, on Sunday. It was awesome as always. And I also on Saturday, I worked a beer fest that was at a zoo. Very cool. It's called Brew at the Zoo up at Turtleback Zoo in West Orange, New Jersey. It was just a barrel of laughs. People were just drinking beers, lemurs were drinking beers, prairie dogs drinking beers. It was crazy. It was a good time, though.
Are you really doing that this weekend?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Is that the first time at a zoo you're gonna be working?
No. Well, typically they're all a bunch of animals at these beer fests, but I've worked this particular beer fest two other times. It's always a good time.
It's fun. Actually at a zoo.
Yeah, it's just on the zoo grounds, like, you know, awesome. Where you walk around. But to be honest, I feel like the two times I've done it, they put the animals away. Yeah. It was weird that this time so many animals were out and just kind of walking around and going from station to station, drinking beers. Drinking beers, doing coke. I don't know. It was a good time. But looking forward to 4th of July. Got a family party coming up. Ready to slam some hot dogs, some glizzies, some glizzinators, and just enjoy, you know, the week off. It's nice to have a nice week off, reset. It was the end of the quarter this past week at work for sales. That's always like the most hectic times. You got to do a lot of stuff to make sure that you hit your goals and stuff like that. So it's nice to kind of take a step back after, but I don't know, man. I'm excited to talk about this game, though. But before we do, we got to talk about some news, because sometimes there is news, and there's always news when it comes to the Fresh Juice Discord, which everybody should be joining. It's in the show notes below. It's a great way to interact with us, interact with other juice heads. It's awesome. It's a great time over there. And you can recommend games. You can see how awesome I am at Balatro. Beat the Jokerless Challenge.
Damn.
It was crazy. Yeah. It was crazy. Even last week's episode, I talked about how hard it was. Guess what? It still was very hard and still took me a lot of tries, but we did it.
Yeah.
Anything you put your mind to, you can achieve.
So folks. are you 100, like, is that 100%
for no?
Balatro? Okay.
91% currently.
Okay.
So the thing I have to do, I still have to unlock one more Joker. Which I need to like play like a hand of 5-7 of clubs to unlock it. So that will take some time to do. And then on top of that, I need to beat Gold Stake with every Joker.
Okay.
Which I've done a decent amount, but there's some Jokers I just never used and didn't use on the Gold Stakes. So like I'm going to have to like pick the easiest deck on Gold Stake to try to like farm these gold stickers that get on the Jokers.
Yeah. But
we're still aiming for 100%. No slowing down.
I don't know. Hell yeah. Now you're playing on Switch, so that doesn't have like achievements, right? It's just you're just basing this off of like what's in the game.
Yeah. Okay. What's in the game? There's no achievements, but they do have the tracker, tells you your progress and what you need to complete and stuff like that. And
nice.
Yeah, no achievements there. I think there's some different ones on Steam. Like you can do, I think you could have done Joker lists just on any deck.
Yeah.
Right. But like there is a actual challenge called Joker list where it's like, you know, base deck, no jokers, yada, yada, yada.
No joke.
No joke.
Yeah. Now, and when this comes out for mobile, you're going to have to do it all over again.
I probably will.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Might as well.
We'll play around with it. We'll see what happens. But I'm excited. I'm sure Local Thunk is working on some big DLC or it's a big update or something like that based on some tweets in the past. So we'll see. Now it is summer sale time. What do they even call it?
The Steam summer sale. There it is.
Steam summer sale. So I thought it'd be cool to go through every game that we've reviewed and just tell the folks what the sale is on it. And I'm gonna rattle them off. Cocoon, which we both really enjoyed, 40% off right now. Pizza Possum, 35%. After that, Wizard with a Gun, which unfortunately the developers had to like disband, as we talked about last week, is 50% off right now. Leica, Aids Through Bloods, 30% off. Bish Bash Bots, a fun little one, 25%. That was the first tower defense we played, right?
Yeah, kinda. I think the last one we played too on the show.
Oh yeah, not a lot of tower defense going on, but maybe Ember Ward changes their mind here. Yeah. The Invincible 34%, being a little different with the 34.
A little
different. Cuisineer 30%. Checkmate Showdown, a deep 75% off.
Ooh-wee. Makes sense.
Yeah. Hey, the reviews are really great on that game. I was just
looking at the
Steam store. I mean, we didn't love it so much, but
yeah, two manager specials from us. But hey, you know, we're just giving you our opinions.
It just wasn't for us.
What do we know?
Born of Bread, 50% off. Hand in Hand, 30% off. Chessorama, 30% off. The NORP Apologue, 35% off. That was already a cheap game, so you're getting a little bit cheaper. Just King, 25% off. I would probably avoid that one. Time Survivors, 25% off. The Cub, 50% off. That one's a steal. Rin, The Last Child, 30% off. Hellskate, 20%. Baltro, 10%. Secrets of Grindia, 10%. Boar Blasters, 20%. Those are three bangers in a row right there.
Oh, yeah.
Rebel Transmute, 15%. Pepper Grinder, 20%. Goons, Legends of Mayhem, 20%. No Rest for the Wicked, 20%. That was a more expensive one, so
yeah,
something worth looking at. Grand Soul Story, 40%. Dungeon Minesweeper, 50%. I would avoid that one as well. Animal Well, 10%. Archaea Gem, 40%. Haunty, 20%. And Throne of Bone, 20%. For anybody who was looking at Throne of Bone from last week, it was like, I don't know if I want to pay that price. Capullo, it's on sale. It's on sale right now. So, it's just kind of cool to see all these games. Only like three or four of them weren't on sale of the games that we reviewed, which is pretty incredible. And it's just a good time to cash in on these mostly good games. And a lot of them were get on sales anyway. So there you go.
I mean, yeah.
What are you waiting for? So what else do we have here in the news?
Yeah, so I found an interesting article. Actually, you know, because we're doing this episode a few days after the next one, there's not a lot of news, but I did find an interesting article published on published today, actually, June 27th. And there is a new Nintendo GameCube game coming out. Now, this is actually Minecraft, folks. So it is an indie dev that is porting Minecraft to the GameCube and to Dreamcast. And they basically just said, I am remaking Minecraft on Nintendo GameCube. I aim to replicate enough of Minecraft's mechanics, but then take the game in a new direction, emphasizing emergent gameplay. So not too sure what that means, but the developer is MeeseDev on Twitter, and then they also said, because obviously I think there's a lot of confusion, right, with this, of like, how are you allowed to bring Minecraft over to the GameCube? To clarify any confusion, they said, I aim for this game to become an entirely original creation with unique assets and ideas. I'm using Minecraft Beta 1.73, I guess that's an older version of Minecraft, merely as game design reference to develop the game engine. There won't be a release until all content is original. So that's how I think they're getting around that sort of copyright issue that obviously is there, but still really cool. The fact that someone even wants to take the time to make something for GameCube, I guess it would only be digital though. They're probably not pressing a little disc for the GameCube or anything like that, but really cool to see. I would like to see this, Tommy, happen more often. You know, how cool would it be just booting up the GameCube after playing some Gauntlet or some Melee, you know, something like that, and you're like, hey, I'm gonna play Minecraft, and you just blow everyone's minds that's at that party with you, or you're alone.
It is interesting because, like, I mean, if it's just digital, it would have to just work on like the emulators, right? So maybe they are pressing the disc, right? Because
yeah, unless they're able to like somehow load it via like the memory card, maybe there's like a hack with the memory card where you can like load things, not too sure. But yeah, it would be awesome if they press the disc, especially, I mean, a game like Minecraft that's on everything. You can get it on like your freaking toaster. It's, you know, so cool to see it go retro at the same time, yeah. You know?
Yeah. Oh, that one, I understand the GameCube is retro, but mean, like having it be called retro, you're like, oh man, that was, in my mind, that's still the best hardware to ever be released. It was so much fun.
Dude,
so many great games.
We were talking in our Instagram chat not long ago, right? I think of like the best GameCube games, and it was just like rattling one by like I don't think there's ever been a console with so many great games. Like,
it was just GameCube bangers.
Was just unbelievable. If you look at the list, I'm like, you know, I'm serious. Like, the listeners out there, check out the list of every GameCube game and tell me that, you know, your pants aren't wet after. It's just unbelievable. Like, it's as we were naming them, I was just like, I don't think there's ever been another console with this many amazing games over the life of that console. It's truly like something that I think isn't talked about enough.
And in terms of like the first party, right, like the Nintendo releases, like they were the best. Like the IPs coming out, like that was like the one console where like every single Nintendo IP that had a game on it was like a banger. I mean, I'm sure I'm missing some that were probably duds, but like you look at like the Wii, like some of them were good, right?
Yeah.
Like the next generation, even like the Wii U and the Switch or whatever. But then you just get duds. Like, who cares? Like, I like the Yoshi game that came out on Switch, but I haven't thought about it until right now because I'm having to, right? But on GameCube, I don't think there was a Yoshi game, but like, you think like that Animal Crossing, I know that it was like the most bare bones Animal Crossing, but I have so many fond memories of playing it.
Yeah.
And then just, gosh, so cool. But it's really cool to see that this dev is doing this. And the fact that, I mean, this is a bold quote here. The main goal is to be a better survival exploration game than Minecraft because they want to remove all the stuff. Like, I mean, good luck. Yeah. That's the biggest game maybe of all time at this point. So,
yep. Crazy.
Yeah, it's cool. I like to see this kind of stuff. You know, I'm interested to see what the final product's going to be, because they don't want it to be Minecraft. They're just using it. So
yeah, very interesting. I'm also curious to know, like, what does it look like, right? Like, obviously the GameCube's not as powerful as the consoles we have today. I know Minecraft is a very pixelated looking game. Are you going to be able to tell that it's running on a GameCube, right? Like, I'm not too sure on that, but I hope they do some sort of like video or stream of this.
Yeah.
I know people have created games for like the Game Boy Color and stuff like that, but I don't think I've ever seen people create games for the GameCube. So pretty cool to see.
Yeah. Well, it is retro. I mean, the thing that it will be interesting is like Minecraft has these like infinite procedural worlds or whatever. I mean, I don't know if the GameCube can handle that, but we'll see. Now, here you also mentioned the 6-1 Indie Showcase has a date for September 19th, 2024. What is this showcase?
Yeah, so I figured it was worth calling this out because specifically this article here from GamingAge.com, it talks about how you can show off your game, your indie game, at no cost of entry for the 6-1 Indie Showcase on September 19th, 2024, as Tom mentioned. So I just think this is really important to bring up. You know, if there's any indie devs that are listening right now, apparently you can apply to this 6-1 Indie Showcase. And if you get accepted, it won't cost you anything. I know Summer Game Fest just happened. A big topic around that and the Game Awards is how much it actually costs for these developers to have their game shown. And it was shown that it's about six figures for a 60-second clip of your game to be shown, which is just, you know, obviously, you know, that's even a lot, I feel like, for the larger studios, right? But if you're an indie dev, and just thinking back now, too, right? Like, you know, seeing all these indie games that we saw, and then now realizing how much they had to spend, you know, and how many indie games have I seen there that I'm like, oh, that's cool, and then I've never actually played it. I kind of feel bad. I'm like, man, maybe I should have played it, you know? So it's just insane, but it's good to see that there's a showcase out there. You know, I know 6-1 Indie, you know, I don't think it's the largest showcase. Like it's honestly something I never really heard before until recently. But still cool that they're doing it. And I hope this is a trend that happens with indie specific showcases as well. You know, if you're really trying to be, you know, trying to bring in that indie crowd, the best thing you can do is just have an application. If they are a fit for your showcase, just have them on there, you know, get some sponsors, some advertisers that'll pay for like all the kind of behind the scenes work that needs to be done with a showcase. But I don't think the indie dev should have to pay for that. They're already paying for their game to be made. Mm-hmm. Right. I hope this is a trend that happens, but just really cool. Wanted to shout it out, you know, big props to 6-1 Indie there.
Yeah, very cool. And maybe we'll have a showcase one day, Matt.
Oh, yeah.
The Fresh Juice Showcase. Who cares? Yeah. That's what we'll call it. Everything's fresh juice here.
Yeah.
And, you know, but we'll charge the games, right? No. I'm kidding. but we do have a game to talk about. Ember Ward. This is by, I guess, Refik Games is the developer and publisher, a solo dev apparently. The price is $14.99. However, it is in early access. There is a demo, which, you know, if what we talk about doesn't convince you, or even if we don't like it, you know, you don't know that yet, or if you're just curious, you can always check out the demo. This is a roguelite tower defense game where basically you get to build like mazes as well as place towers, right? So you have your typical like, oh, here's the different towers that you have, and you're doing the typical roguelite thing where you're kind of going through a map, not unlike Slay the Spire or some other roguelikes out there, where each stage you're going to have to complete the challenge, and it's a typical tower defense game loop where you get waves of enemies, your different towers do different things. They have different kinds of, synergies with each other and with relics that you find. You can find these relics, which are basically static abilities that you have throughout your run. And when you die, like any other roguelite, you start over. But how do you progress is the question. You will get this, I forget, is it intellect? Intellect is the currency, maybe?
Like the light bulb? I think that's what it's called. But honestly, don't remember. I just call it the light bulb.
So it is... basically this thing where you there's a skill tree where you can upgrade stuff, and every time you play again, that skill tree will still be there. You can even reset the skill tree to like reuse your points in different ways however you want. But the cool thing about this is not only do you get your towers to build, you also get these Tetris looking blocks, right? So when you start a run, you choose your character. I think there's only one character, or at least we only really dealt with one character. Choose your character, and then you choose your loadout. You get three random loadouts, which will give you three different towers to start with, usually on the cheaper side, because you have to spend coins to build these towers, and you earn coins by killing enemies and completing a wave. And you also get X amount of like Tetris cards that look like they're blueprints, right? And you build them out on the map to change the trajectory of the enemies coming in, so make it slower, make it so that they're taking more time to get to your little fireplace, whatever your bonfire, which is your health that you're trying to protect. And you can place your towers on there. You need to place them on there or other blocks that were already on the map when you start. But you also have special areas where they will give your towers a buff. So the cool thing is with these Tetris block cards is you can upgrade them as you go through a run. And the way you upgrade them is they will have two little, sometimes one, sometimes two little places for you to give an upgrade. And when you do the upgrade, you get a choice of different kinds of buffs, right? This buffs ice towers. This buffs fire towers. This makes whichever tower that's on it have a better range. This one does more damage, yada yada yada. So you're trying to make not only use these Tetris blocks to kind of prevent your enemies from like getting to you really quick and making it easier for you to kill them as they go through, but you're using them to make your towers a lot better. It's a really neat little game mechanic in this game. Now, in terms of the gameplay, I was pretty all in on this, to be honest. I'm not a huge tower defense guy, to be honest. And I'm being honest. I've said that like three times.
Liar!
all right, I'm lying. No. I'm not a big tower defense person, whatever that means. But I am attorney. A roguelike. I'm a roguelike guy, and I love card game elements. So I was pretty in on the Tetris blocks and trying to figure out what the best way to do it was and the best way to build out your towers, which towers are good, which ones are not good, how to use them. You could upgrade your towers. And there's a really cool thing when you upgrade towers, and you could do this in a lot of tower defense games. This is nothing new. But like in terms of upgrading, I don't know if they do this in most tower defense games where you have two options. When you click on it, you have, I don't know why it was R and F. That was just the two keys you can press.
Yeah.
But they will give two different buffs. You can choose like basically a tree in terms of which way you want to upgrade them. One might increase fire rate. The other one might increase damage and range. So that was really neat. I'm the only issue I had with the gameplay is I do believe it is very hard. And I'm not just saying that as someone who doesn't really play a lot of tower defenses, but like it after like quite a few rounds, I played a couple hours of this game. I still felt like even after I was upgrading my skill tree that I wasn't quite getting as progressed into the game as I would have hoped. but I was learning a lot as I was playing more. Now, this could be a skill issue. I totally recognize that because I'm not a tower defense guy, right? But, and then it could also be a symptom of being in early access where, like, there's only two maps available right now in early access, and they show you that there's going to be a lot more, right? But maybe they don't want you just beating the two worlds right away while they're trying to build out the rest of these worlds in early access, which I totally understand. All that being said, though, I did have a lot of fun with it, and I enjoyed the challenge here, because even though I kept dying, I was like, well, I can do this better, because like there were times I was like, oh, I just made a mistake. I don't know why I didn't even think about the enemies coming from that angle. Like,
yeah,
I should have saw that. I was being dumb. So for me, the gameplay here was actually a lot of fun. I enjoyed it, and I'm actually looking forward to playing more of it. To be honest, I kind of caught the bug here where I want to go further in the game and see if I can get actually like really good at it and you know, kind of follow it as it goes through early access.
So. Yeah, no, I definitely, you know, I think you're hitting the nail on the head there with this game, because I'm also not a big tower defense player. You know, honestly, I played Bloons. I've played Bish Bash Bots.
And now you play Ember Ward.
Yeah, now I've played Ember Ward. So there we go, the trifecta of tower defense. But no, I think the big thing with this game for me, even with early access, right, there's, like Tommy said, only two regions available. I'm looking at their roadmap right now, and it lists some of the stats for launch. So there's three playable characters. So I guess maybe when you get to the next region, you unlock the other two. I'm not really sure how that works, because I also only use the first character. But the big thing with this game, even in early access, there's a lot of replayability here, like way more than I thought. I really felt like all the runs I did were different from each other. I had different strategies. You know, you start out, like Tommy said, by choosing a character. So you already have, I mean, there's only three playable right now, but that's already a variable, right? And then after that, you choose your loadout, like Tommy mentioned. So that's another variable there. Then with that loadout, you're also choosing, that kind of Tetris piece loadout. You're also choosing the defenses you want to start out with. And then you go ahead and choose like a random perk as well that shows up that you want to have. Like, for example, one of the ones I had was it cuts the time in between rounds in half. But for every 10 seconds that's left, you get an extra 3 coins. So I tried that one. It was pretty good because I was like, I'm never really taking the full time anyway. Maybe I should have been. But so that's another variable there. And then, yeah, you choose like the path you want to take on the map, right? Which is like always kind of different. There's like different corrupted areas as well. So you can kind of make your path towards those if you'd like. Different rewards for beating each level. Like Tommy mentioned, you know, kind of after you beat a level, you'll be able to whatever piece you won from that level, whatever Tetris piece you won, that's what you can also upgrade. So that's another variable. And yeah, I just think the gameplay loop here is really fantastic. There's so many, it almost felt like I was playing like Balatro, right? Where I felt like every run of Balatro, or Balatro, I never know. What do you say? Which one do you say?
I say Balatro, but Balatro. I think it doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. Cause I'm getting all fancy with Balatro. But regardless, like every time I would play that, it would, you know, it'd be like a different experience, or I'd be like, okay, these are the jokers I got. I'm going to focus on this. Very similar with this game, where whatever I'm kind of starting out with, even though my character, the character you do choose, since there's like only the one that we played with, all of your fire defenses have 5 more HP. I believe that's the perk for that character. So you kind of maybe should just be focusing on fire if you can, just because you got a little buff there, but it really isn't that for a few runs, I didn't, you know, I focused on arcane element, which is kind of like this purple magic element that's in the game. And then I did like frost for the next run. So I felt like every time I was playing it, I had like a different path, and I really enjoyed that. It was something that surprised me, because since I'm also not into tower defense games, you know, too much. This one is like winning me over. And then we're looking at the skill tree right here, right? That Tommy was mentioning that you use the light bulbs to kind of upgrade whatever that currency is called. That was also something when that popped up in the game, I was like, wow, there's more that I can like customize. Like it got to that point where I was just like surprised. You know, I had same thing with Elden Ring, where I was just like, there's so much, like what, this is crazy. I was getting those vibes with this game, and yeah, we're only in early access. So I think, you know, really interested to see where this game goes. They already have two updates planned on their roadmap, and then they have a future updates kind of mode as well. But they'll be adding some new regions, some new towers, some new relics and characters, adding more difficulty options. So it seems like, you know, there's a good amount of content planned. And from a solo dev, with it being this like smooth of gameplay too, I don't know if like we talked about that really yet, but this game like is surprisingly built by a solo dev. It works so well. It's just smooth as hell. All the animations are crisp. Like I wouldn't even think that this game was early access unless you know, I reached kind of the content wall that mm-hmm. the game, you know, the game has with the only two regions and three characters. But really impressed with it overall. A lot of variety every time you play. You also, another variable that pops up is sometimes a treasure chest will drop out in the map. You click that, it gives you a few different options of kind of what you can upgrade. And then it gives you some cards as well that you can use while your run is going, while they're you know, the defenses are working. You could be like, oh, I want to speed this one up for 15 seconds. So it gives you even more variables with that. And it's just, and I also think the idea of using Tetris pieces as well adds to that like randomness, right? Of like, oh, you have to kind of think like, how are these going to fit together? Like you almost have to think a few steps ahead sometimes, because you're like, okay, I want to try to set this up, but I need these to fit in a certain way because this one is a 2x2 defense and I need to have enough room to drop it on one of these Tetris pieces. Like really cool idea to use that. At first I was like, honestly, when I see a lot of Tetris stuff that's not Tetris, I'm like, this is like gimmicky. You know, they're just trying to like be similar to Tetris, you know, trying to capitalize on kind of the look of Tetris. This game does it super well, and I was really pleased to see it. So with all that said about the gameplay, I loved it. It was awesome. I do want to play more. I think it's a great game to kill time with. And yeah, it's just so much variety with the game. Even some stuff that I had locked that I haven't gotten to yet. Who knows what else is going to kind of unravel with a game like this. So definitely props to the dev for the gameplay side of things. Really, really strong gameplay in my mind.
Yeah. I'm glad that you touched on how smooth it was for like a solo dev, because like, and we'll talk about how good it looks and the art and the sound as well. But like just the movement, like, you know, being able to control the map a little bit, just like the tiny details of just even like the accessibility stuff where, you know, when you click on a tower and you're just like, you have all those options. I don't know if you could see it in the video for anybody watching, but when you click a tower and you're like hovering over stuff, it will give you all the options. It's like, there's no trying to figure it out, right? It's like, okay, I don't want to actually place this one anymore. I got to click the middle, the click wheel. What do you call spin wheel? I don't know. What do they call it?
Oh, scroll wheel.
Scroll wheel.
Geez. There it is. Yeah.
you know, stuff like that. And it's really cool. And like the, like using the Tetris pieces in interesting ways is like at first I was like, this is good. I was the same way. This is going to be gimmicky. Right. And then it wasn't, right. Because I got this one tower that was, it was like a lightning cannon or whatever. It was a 1x2. So like it was two grid pieces long ways and it shoots in a straight line. So you have to look at the path of the enemies and be like, well, I got to build this so that I can shoot in a straight line where they're coming at you in a straight line. And straight lines aren't that good, like in this game, because they're coming at you pretty quick. But if you can set that up, you're doing a lot of damage. And you're just like, ah, oh, man, it's so cool. And then you see other bigger towers where it's like 3x3. You're like, God, I got to commit a lot of bricks to this to make this work. Is it even worth it? And you play around with it, which is pretty cool. But in terms of the story, though, it's a roguelite and it's in early access. But, you know, it has a lot of character. I will say that. I'm not going to say that, you know, it's really giving you anything, but you have characters that you want to play, like this kind of, I guess we could call it like Japanese chibi style art, you know, rather than your typical anime art, but like, you know, I guess closer to Hello Kitty. I don't know if that's true.
You know it's true. You know what you're talking about, saying chibi. No. You know. Yeah, you got a Hello Kitty backpack.
I just read it in the Reader's Digest the other day. But it's cute art, and just like it gives the world a nice kind of character. You know, a lot of times roguelites are a lot of menus, right? Like in between you doing the thing. And I think it serves a purpose. You know, you're never really expecting a ton of story from these things, but there's some decent, like, actual characterization going on in this world that they're building. And it's just so vibrant and easy to look at, which goes into the next thing. But what about you? Is there anything that you had a note on there?
No, nothing really with the story. Yeah, I think you did a good job there, kind of summing it up. A lot of characterization, you know, no real story here. Would love to see some Tetris pieces talking, though, cutscenes in between levels. That would be great. Like, you know, maybe they're complaining how heavy the defenses are that are on them. Something like that could be nice. No, but no real story. But the art, though, you know, I know we talked about it a bit, but very cute. Very cute art, you know. I also put down here, like, very mobile game-esque. I could see this being on phones. They do a lot of great stuff in terms of really, like, the contrast with the world. It's very easy to see your defenses. It's very easy to see the Tetris pieces, you know, kind of on the world. It doesn't really blend in too much where, you know, maybe you lost a defense somewhere and you're not really sure where it is. They do a good job with that. One thing I like in particular is during the placement phase, before you start with the waves of enemies, is they have a kind of like this dashed line that goes around the border of your screen. You'll see it in the video here from time to time when they're actually placing, like right now. So when you're placing that stuff, it kind of just is like a neat little touch there, you know, that you're like, oh, you're in like blueprint mode, you know, like this is when you're like dropping stuff. So it's great because the pieces are already doing that work of turning transparent blue and looking kind of like a blueprint. And kind of the grid around it changes and highlights a little bit. But that little detail there, I was like, oh, that's really cool. You know, that it's just something that definitely didn't need to be in the game, but it is. The menu systems, I think, work really well. You know, when you're choosing upgrades, like you said, it's like very easy to see everything. I just think overall, like the art for the game, the art for the defenses and the, you know, the way it attacks and everything's interesting with their different elements. Like, it just does a really good job of like having a lot of character. There we go. We're talking about character again. But it's true. Like, the art really, I think, lends itself well. I don't know if that's a statement. The characterization of everything is really helped by the art as well. I think it's just fantastic. Like, it's should I say perfect? It's like near perfect to me. You know, it just I wouldn't really change anything. Like, keep it coming. I like the enemy design, everything. So what are you thinking, Tommy, about the art?
Yeah, it's got this really cool, like, the environment, like the enemies and like the nature and stuff like that has this kind of cool watercolory-esque thing going on, where your towers are a little bit more, like, not like realistic, but like more like illustrated, right? And not as kind of a impressionist in a way, which is kind of cool. It sets you apart from the world that you're interacting with, which is really cool. But like, it's just so clean. It's actually just unbelievably impressive how great this looks, to be honest. And just even, you know, the map. The map looks so good. Oh, like, yeah, we see a lot of these like Slay the Spire-esque roguelite maps in stuff like this, right? And this one's just a good one that it looks really cool. It's so easy to just be like, each stage, this is a battle, this is your reward, whatever. But this, I mean, it gives you that stuff, but it looks cool. And it just, it makes your decision-making just a little bit more, I don't know, like it makes it easier to like think about these decisions because it's easy to look at, right? Because sometimes when things are overwhelming, you can be like, cause, and that happens a lot, especially in tower defense, to be honest, like the first couple like rounds or like waves of enemies, I was like a little overwhelmed. But then like, as I understood it a little bit more, I was like, okay, this is easy to look at. I'm happy with it, but it's cool. I really like it. And I also enjoy the animation a lot. You know, we're looking at the drone, the drone tower right now, which is cool. And I like the way the enemies move, right? Super cool. I mean, you know, if you're watching the YouTube right now, there's this giant werewolf thing that is really hard to beat sometimes, like when you first start out. But the way it moves is hilarious because it's like kind of like almost like James and the Giant Peach style movement, which is shout out. Hey, listen, shout out James and the Giant Peach.
Banger.
This is a beautiful game. This is a beautiful game. But to kind of like keep sending it home here, I got to go with the sound here. It's got a great soundtrack, right? It speeds up with your gameplay. You know, you have the ability to speed up your gameplay or slow it down. It works with that. The sound effects are so satisfying when you're placing stuff, when you're hearing things shoot. They all have different kinds of sounds too. When you're plopping your Tetris blocks down, the menu sounds, the little clicks. Oh
yeah,
God. I mean, this is ASMR kind of stuff, but like, it's just a well-rounded game. Not a lot of variation in the music, I guess, but enough that it's totally fine. I mean, you look at Baltro, right? It's kind of like one theme going through the whole game, except with some changes. And I'm still like, you know, whatever. I'm rocking out to it. And the same with this, because sometimes you need that when you're kind of like in thinking mode, especially for a roguelite where your decisions matter so much, you know, going through these runs. So was a big fan of the sound.
Yeah, I same here. You know, I thought everything sounded great. I even like the, like they had like kind of this like medieval music on the menu, like the main menu. I was like, oh, this is like, well, as soon as I booted it up, I was like, this is great. Yeah, everything sound effect wise, really good job. You know, even at certain points, like when you're like going to like select a certain perk maybe that the game offer you, like if you open up like a treasure chest, I'm pretty sure there's like a, you hear like that campfire protecting, that like that's all you kind of hear in the background. It's just like a crackling fire, which also, you know, goes into what you were kind of saying of like just having that like constant noise where like you don't feel like it's repetitive, but it helps you think at the same time. You know, it's not like I know, what was that, was it, was a Chess-O-Rama that we played?
Yeah, the Vuvuzela.
Yeah, that would just keep going like that. That's annoying. Like, this game doesn't get annoying with the sound at all. And yeah, I just thought it worked really well. Yeah, no notes from my end. Definitely a great job on the sound.
Yeah, same. And in terms of performance, I had no issues. Ran great. Very, like, it was one of those, like we've said multiple times, kind of surprises early access outside of the content here. And yeah, it ran great for me. What about you?
Yeah, same here. No issues on my end. You know, I actually think this game will work really well on mobile, so get it on there, you know. But yeah, no issues whatsoever for me.
Did you try to play it on Steam Deck or Steam Link or whatever?
No, actually, I didn't, because in their future on the roadmap, their one of their future updates after the first two, it says controller support.
So, oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, once I saw that, I was like, oh, I won't even try. You know,
this might be a hard game to play with controller anyway, though.
Yeah, they would definitely need to get creative, I think, with the controls to make sure you can access everything on the in the game. But I'm sure there's other tower defense games on console, though. I have to imagine. Yeah.
Actually, if you're watching YouTube right now, this is a cool level where you have spots to put your towers on mine cars. And mm-hmm. when the waves start, the mine cars just go around in circles and they start shooting. It's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Kind of cool level design there. But let's get to the rating. Our ratings are as follows. You got S tier, certified fresh juice. Very few games have gotten double certified fresh juice. A tier, a steal. B tier, get on sale. C tier, manager special. And D tier, spoiled milk.
Ooh.
What is your rating, Matthew?
Okay, so I am giving this game a certified fresh juice. And this is very surprising to me. Because it's a tower defense game. Yeah. This game, I feel like if you are a tower defense person, like you have to play this game. Like it's just, it innovates in the right ways. It's a lot of, and it's a lot of fun for someone who doesn't play these types of games. So it has to be a lot of fun for someone that plays a lot of them, I would imagine. So yeah, I'm giving it a certified fresh juice. Probably biggest surprise of the year of the show, maybe for me so far of actually feeling like this about the game. So. That's what I'm giving it. What about you, Tommy?
Yeah, I'm a certified fresh juice as well. And the reason is so far, like it's so unbelievable how every single piece of this game is working well together. And it is early access. So this hinges, right? Right. This could get worse if like they never get out of early access, right?
Yeah.
Like just keep that in mind. Like, you know, that is a real risk when you're getting into these games. Now, that being said, I think there's a lot of interest here. A lot of people are playing it, and there was a lot of hype around this game. So there's no real reason for development to be abandoned here. This is pretty deep, especially for a solo dev. I feel like this would be abandoning your baby. So, yeah, yeah. Certified Fresh Juice, just a real pleasure to play. God, I mean, the thing about roguelikes, especially stuff like this, when you first start understanding synergies, you're like, I have to make the coolest tower defense thing yeah. ever. You're just yeah. like, I want to see me with like 10 different arcane towers or something yeah. like that, which is a type of tower in this game. So, yeah, that's another double certified fresh juice. First early access to get that, I believe. We don't do a lot of early access, but. Sometimes
it's yeah.
out there.
Definitely. Yeah. Our other, just for the audience to know, I'm looking at our list right now. The only other games we give double certified fresh juice to are Norp Apolog, Balatro, Boar Blasters, Animal Well, and Haunty. So Haunty was also a very big surprise as well, getting that double certified. But I think this one, just because of the genre alone, is a bigger surprise to me.
Speaking of Haunty, what was our favorite game of June? Because it is now July.
Yes. So let me see here what we played in June. So we're not counting this game.
Right? No, this is July.
Yeah. Okay, perfect.
I mean, it came out in June, but we played it in July.
True. So we have Throne of Bone, Questmaster, I played, Haunty, and Astor.
I mean, so, it's got to be Haunty. I mean, we yeah. did give a certified a double set. Actually, you know, it's Throne of Bone. No, it's Haunty. I think by a landslide, the game was really cool.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, I like the only one, like, Questmaster, I gave a steal. You know, that's the only one that if it had some more content, you know, or like it was fully out, maybe it would compete more. But Haunty was just a surprise. I knew I was going to like Questmaster, you know.
Yeah.
But Haunty was the surprise there. So yeah, I'm going to note that down. And
July's off to a hot start, though. I mean, we will see what we're playing. We might be playing Exophobia next week. We don't know yet. That is tentative, but hopefully. Yeah. But we had some stiff competition after Ember Ward comes out hot out of the gates, like an ember in a ward. But we do have some listener questions, as always. Capolo asks, and you can submit these on the Fresh Juice Discord, of course. When you are selecting new games for reviews, do you tend to pick more established indie games or try to go for less popular ones? And then also ask Dungeon Clawler, that's hard to say, when. That game doesn't come out till Q4. So Q4. And do you want to take this one? I mean, I guess we both, I mean, we have the same ideas here about.
Yeah. It's really like, I would say we play mostly unpopular games, I would say. So we're just really looking at whatever's coming out on Steam. We take a look at all those sort of games, any games in showcases, we'll like reach out to those devs for, to see if we can potentially get keys. If we don't get keys, we still might end up playing those games. But I would say there's only been a few exceptions of like, you know, larger games that were like, yeah, we definitely want to play that. Like Animal Well was like one of them. Trying to see what else, Pepper Grinder, I know, was one that like I think we had seen some trailers for that we're like, yeah, we definitely want to try that out. 33 Immortals, you know, I know we talked about that closed beta. So there's been a few games here and there where we've definitely, handpicked those. But usually it's really just about like whatever's coming out like that following week. So I think that's mainly our method, but I don't know if you have anything to add there, Tommy.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even, this was like a last minute choice for Ember Ward, right? And this does have a little bit of hype behind it, right? Like, I think it is going to be well hyped throughout its early access. But, you know, we were supposed to review something else and it didn't come out. You know, sometimes we have to, you know, be a little flexible. You know, Balatro was, you know, I mean, we knew people were talking about it. We didn't know how like big it was going to be, right? We're just doing it. So
I realized actually for that game how big it was when we were at PAX and some kid was playing it on a Steam Deck. We were walking into like one of the panels. And I went up to him. I was like, "Oh, Balatro." I was like, "Hell yeah!" And that's why I was like, "Oh my god!" Like I'm seeing people in the wild playing this game. Like it really has reached those heights. It's pretty cool.
That was awesome. Next question comes from Kay Moore, who asks, if you had one chance to tell your younger self something, what would it be?
He put this on the Discord. And I jokingly said, "Buy Bitcoin," because that's what I, you know. Then I wouldn't be doing this podcast in this room. I'd be in the Hamptons. Okay. We'd all be there anyway. Honestly, like what I would tell my younger self, if it's not like gaming related, I'd be like, stay consistent. Because you know, I would love to be like a content creator, like full time. And I feel like I've done YouTube, for example, for a long time. And you know, there'd be like, oh, like I didn't post for a year, right? Because I'm like, oh, I'm interested in other stuff, whatever it is. I've been a lot better lately, and I've starting to see like the fruits of my labor right now, at least with Once Human, which is really cool to see. But obviously, I do wish, I had stayed consistent when I was younger, because who knows where I would have been. You know, I could have been Mr. Beast. I already look like him. Maybe that could have just been me, right? but no, definitely like stay consistent, I think. If we're giving serious advice, that's what I would tell my younger self. What about you, Tom?
Oh man, this is a tough one. There's so many things I wish I did differently.
Don't do it. It can apply to so many things.
But I also truly, yeah. Don't go to match July 2004. No.
Yeah.
It's like the Walter White meme where he's in the car yelling at Hank.
Oh yeah.
Don't do it. But I truly don't like to think about that kind of stuff, because as many bad things have happened in my life, I think that they've all kind of led me to probably a good spot, right? You know, I'm pretty happy where I'm at. And like, if I'm happy where I'm at, anything that changes would be kind of different, right? Maybe I wouldn't be happy where I'm at, right? Like earlier I would have been happier, and now maybe not so much. So you don't really know. But if I was going to give myself some advice that I can apply even now, like let's say younger self was this morning, don't always take the easy way out, right? I think sometimes work smarter, not harder is the way to do it, but sometimes also work harder, not and smarter, I guess is probably what I would say. Work hard and smart, because I have a terrible time where I'm just like, I'm devoid of motivation, and I need to be better about self-motivating sometimes. So, and it's probably because my real job, I'm like kind of on an island. I make my own schedule. I have to do my stuff. And because I'm have to continue to self-motivate when I'm doing stuff that's not work, I don't want to self-motivate. Yeah. And I know that sounds crazy. I've just recorded 151 episodes of Fresh and Buds. Every week came out, right? But
crazy.
It should be bigger at this point, right? Maybe I worked a little bit harder and promoted a little bit better, but you know, so that's what I would say. And now for a really serious question from RCarp11, who asked, Yeti or Bigfoot, who would win?
I'm going to go with the Yeti on this one. I think it depends where you're fighting. If you're fighting Yeti territory, Yeti. If you're fighting Bigfoot territory, I still think the Yeti could pull it off if they don't overheat. I just think the Yeti is bigger and stronger and is going to get the job done. But what do you think, Tom?
So I'm assuming it's a neutral ground, perhaps final destination, no items. Okay. here, I mean, if I were to choose where they fought in this real scenario, I have to go Yeti, because in the lore of both of them, right, Bigfoot's always kind of just Bigfoot, right? But sometimes when you see Yeti, sometimes it is got huge horns, beady red eyes, huge teeth, stuff like that.
You're gonna say something else or something. Huge teeth. I was like, is he gonna say it? No. Teeth.
And a lot more menacing, where like Bigfoot is no doubt scary. I don't understand the people who want to find Bigfoot, because I would be terrified, right? Yeah. That is a terrible thing. I keep eating their beef jerky, and it's and they're not happy about it. But Yeti 100%, I think, in a final destination, no items scenario, it's Yeti. Bigfoot's still like Pacific Northwest, right? So it's not like is really in warm tropical climates where the Yeti wouldn't be able to handle himself or their self.
Bigfoot doesn't have a cooler, so
that's true.
Yeah, no one's got a brand name Bigfoot.
Yeah, well, there probably is somewhere. Yeah,
probably some weird website out there.
Wait, did you check my search history? but thank you for the question, RCarp11, as always. And finally, the Rec Room, before we say our goodbyes, some place where we recommend something that perhaps isn't an indie game. Sometimes is, but perhaps isn't. What do you have to recommend for the folks this week?
Yeah, so I'm recommending some music here. This is a new album that just came out from Joey Valence and Bray. I'm pretty sure that's how it's pronounced, right? Okay. Tommy's giving me the nod. Mm-hmm. And it's called No Hands. If you're into, like, everyone compares them to the Beastie Boys, the modern Beastie Boys, that 90s kind of like hip hop sound, really great. Definitely very big. Like, you know, if you're not in the Beastie Boys, I would say you probably won't like Joey Valance and Bray. But killer songs on here. Some recommendations. You got Omnitrix. You got No Hands, the title song. You got OK. It's great, great one as well. There's even a few others. Honestly, I could just listen to the whole album like back to back with no problems. Like, it's just great to have on. Great when you're driving, jamming, you know. So I'm recommending No Hands from Joey Valance and Bray. Great, great album. They also, their album before this was great as well. This one is also hitting. So
yeah. Punk Tactics.
Yeah, Punk Tactics. Yeah.
That was Punk Tactics. The song is like one of my all time favorites from them, for sure. And Fresh. Is it just called I'm Fresh? Fresh?
Yeah.
Which obviously is my theme song. So they got some bangers. I saw them in Asbury Park last year at See Here Now, and they were a lot of fun. I think they're just Pennsylvania boys, you know, just got into music after college, and they're a lot of fun. They don't take themselves seriously, and that's totally fine. Have fun, make some music. Yeah. Wasn't really sure what to recommend this week, but in light of, you know, if anybody is a Chipotle fan, right? There's a lot of talk on the internet. It's like, they're not giving enough chicken anymore. The portion sizes suck. I have to bring my phone in and record them, you know, to make them give me more chicken or whatever. I got to say, if anybody, I don't know how regional Halal Guys is, but there's at least a couple in New Jersey. And I got lunch there the other day and it slapped because basically it's like a gyro or a chicken plate, like a chicken shawarma plate. You can get it on a pita. It is so good, and they don't hold back on their portions. So check out Halal Guys. It's actually pretty fuego. So.
Yeah, they're in PA, Jersey, and New York. So
all right, well, you know,
right there,
the only three that matter.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Three that matter. Yeah, I've actually never had them. I've seen them before, but I probably would like them. They got what do you usually get there? You got a usual, or you just kind of switch it up?
I just get the chicken pita. So it's just like you get this chicken, lettuce, tomato, and then they hit like the white garlic kind of sauce, and then like a hot sauce, and you can get hummus on there too if you're into the hummus. I'm into hummus, but I don't usually get it on the sandwich. It's pretty fuego. I'll post it. Actually, I have a picture of the one I had this week. It looked pretty insane. I'll post it in the Fresh Juice Discord. And that's going to do it for the show. You can continue to find me on Twitter at Fresh Buds Pod. Find the show at Fresh Juice Pod everywhere. I have a podcast called Fresh and Buds I do every week with random guests from the Flesh and Blood community. It's a great community. If anybody's going to Battle Hardened New Jersey in Princeton, I will be there. Say hi. And yeah, hi. Where can they find you, Juice?
Yeah, if you want to find me at Matty Gorm on all the socials, G-O-R-M. I have been posting, like I said, a lot of stuff on Once Human, which is an upcoming survival MMO indie game. It's actually been great. I had some great traction one of my recent videos, 11,000 views, a lot of good conversation on it, which is really what I kind of care about at the end of the day. Really good stuff. So it's been awesome. Yeah, kind of building a little community over there. So if you're interested in that game or you want to learn more about it, I have a ton of videos over at Matty Gorm on YouTube. And that's basically the only place I post these days, or like I do content, other than, of course, Fresh Juice. Bringing it home.
I gotta go home from Maine now. Everybody, stay fresh, you juice heads.